The Eddy B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara, Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Het. Today's daf is being studied. Le'anu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther, Hashem Tenechanu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Le'anu Nishmat.
Violet Gilson,
Bat Sophie, Ruach Hashem Tenechanu Began Eden, Utin Shmata, Tzerura V'Tzerur HaChayim. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Refu Ashma, Mickey Ben Jamie. Enna Rafaranor, Fatanev, Shvatgul, Fatuk, Revalabo. V'chein yirason v'nomar amen. We are on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Bet, and we are up to at you. That is three lines from the bottom. We continue to study the story of Rabbi Hananya ben Teradion, when the Romans came and brought him out to kill him. Rabbi Hananya ben Teradion was one of the 10 martyrs. Da'asara aruge malchut. So Yamara says, at you, Rabbi Hanina ben Teradion, Amru le Amai ka'asach be'oraita. Why did you study Torah? Amar lehu ka'ashir sivani Hashem Elohai. Like my God commanded me. Biyad gazru alav l'srefa. Romans judged him death by burning. Val ishto lahariga. They judged his wife also death by the gallows. Val bito l'shev. And his daughter has to sit in the den of zonot, of prostitutes. Question is, what avon did he do? Rabbi Hananya ben Teradion, that he should deserve such a death. So Gemara says, alav nislefa shaya hoge et Hashem beotiyotav, because he was pronouncing the name of God in its letters. You're not allowed to pronounce the name of God the way it is written. For example, if God's name is written Yudke Vavke, we read it in Adanut. So at least according to the Tosafot, that's what he was doing. Look at the top Tosafot. Perusha contrast. He brings Rashi first. Rashi has a different understanding of this Gemara. Shidorsho bemem bet otiyot. He learns Rashi that he was using the 42 letter name of Hashem. The 42 letter name of Hashem comes from the passage of Anna Bechawah. The seven passages in the Anna Bechawah, and each passage has six words, and the Rashi Tevot of the Anna Bechawah creates the Shem Mem Bet, the 42 letter name of God, and he was using that name. What was he using it for? So he says, Ve'oseh bo mashu hafetz. He was doing whatever he wants with it. The name of God, you could use it for many personal things. So according to the Gemara, that was his mistake. Ve'rov ha'olam mifarshim, but Tosfot says the majority of the world explains, Shaya kore beferush otiyot shel shema miyuhad beotiyot shel shara tebot. Ve'ze en na'asot kede amar bepsachim. That's why Tosfot learns. And he was reading, no, he was reading the Havaya, but he was reading it like he was reading it. He should have read it in Adanut, but he read it in Havaya. So we have a machloket Rashi and Tosafot, what exactly Rav Hananya ben Teradion was doing. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, Vehechi avid hache? How did he do that? Ve'atenan, elu she'en lehem chelek le'olam abba. The following people lose their share to the world to come. Omer en Torah min haShamayim. Somebody comes along and says that the Torah is not divine. The Torah did not come from the Shamayim. Ve'en tehayat emetim min haTorah. Or he comes along and says there's no tehayat emetim from the Torah. Not that he denies tehayat emetim, the resurrection. He says there is resurrection, but there's no proof from it from the Torah. Somebody denies that there's no proof from the Torah of a resurrection. Enu chelek. Abba Shaul Omer. Abba Shaul includes somebody that utters the name of God in its letters. So what was Rav Hananya ben Teradion thinking? So the Gemara says, Lehitlamed avad. He was doing it to teach. Ki uchtetanya lo tilmad la'asot. Aval ata lamed la'avin ulhorot. Which means this over here is a chiddush, that the Torah is teaching us that there's certain things from the Torah that are forbidden. We're not allowed to do certain things that are considered the ways of the Goyim. For example, magic and witchcraft and things like that. But if you're doing the witchcraft in order to teach the students what is Asur and what's not Asur, so you're using it to teach them. Then already it's mutar. Lehitlamed shan. To teach is different. So therefore, when he was hogeh et Hashem, he was doing it to teach. He was doing it to show his students, this you're allowed to do, this you're not allowed to do. Good. So therefore, that was his rationale why he allowed himself to do it. So comes the Gemara and says, Ela maita ma einash. So that's why he get punished. Mishum moget Hashem befarishya. Abi, he did it in public. That was the avon, which means he was really allowed to do it. But God was angry at the Hananiah ben Tadjon because he did it in a public manner, and therefore he shouldn't have. You could have done it to teach, do it in Sanua, do it in private, but to say the name of God in public like that, that already wasn't considered kavod, and therefore he was held liable. Now, Rashi over here is very interesting. Look at the top Rashi. Top Rashi on the daf says like this: Lehitlamed avad. He did it to teach. Umihu Hakadosh Baruch Hu Medagdeki Matzadikim. God is particular with the Sadikim. Kihuta Sa'ara. Oh, with a fine tooth comb. God judges the Sadikim very, very, very strict. Va'afilu lehitlamed. Even though he was teaching, Yesh lahush lechbod harav. Still, he should have been concerned for kavod harav. Ukrade lo tilmad la'asot. That would have said lo tilmad la'asot, that you cannot do to act, but you could teach. Bemili aharini tatukma. That was talking about something else. Which means this pasuk of lo tilmad, that you shouldn't teach, is not talking about hoge. When it comes to saying God's name, you shouldn't do it at all, as she says. The pasuk over there, lo tilmad, is talking about other things. What was the avon of Rabbi Hananiah ben Tadjon? He was. He had a heter, but God's medakdek with the tzaddikim. So look at the Tosafot. Netlamed avad. Perusha kontras. Miyu akadosh baruch hu medakdek. Benet et shelo haya katu besufro elamai te'ama e'ainash. Hoge befarheshia haya. Which means, what is that? She bring me a reason the Gemara doesn't bring. The Gemara clearly told me the reason why he got punished, because he did it in public. That she's going to be a new reason. No, the reason why he got punished is because God judged the tzaddikim very, very particularly. And even though maybe there's a heter, but the tzaddik has to be extra careful. But the Gemara doesn't say that. So Tosfot says, must be that she had a different text. That she must have not had the Gemara's section where it said, so why did he get punished? Oh, must be because he taught in public. That she had that scratched out of his Gemara. So therefore, that she's text was that, why did he do it? If it's asud, why did he do it? So the Gemara, he did it because he was teaching. But that's the end of his Gemara. So now she has to now create a reason. If it was mudar, so why did he do it? Or why did he get punished? So now she has to come along and say, because sometimes God judges the tzaddik, even though something is permissible, but he has to be on a higher level. One of the rabbis make an analogy to it, that if a person is wearing all white, and he has a little stain, so the white stain, the black stain on a white suit is magnified. But if a person is wearing all black, when he has many stains, you don't see it. The tzaddik is white. So even a small little blemish already becomes more noticeable. That's the way that she understands. Okay, comes the Gemara and says, now his wife also did something. What was his wife's avon that she got punished? Delo mihabe. She didn't stop him. She didn't rebuke him. Mikan amru. Kol mi sheyesh biyadon limhot. Anybody that has the ability to rebuke the eno moheh and doesn't rebuke, ne'enash alav. So the punishment goes on that person. It seems that his wife was in a position to tell her husband what to do. And therefore she had a chance to say, listen, what are you saying God's name like that for? What are you doing it in public? Why are you doing it? It's not kavod for the name of God. Something like that on those terms. She didn't. So she's guilty as well. But she's not as guilty as the rabbi. The rabbi got a more severe punishment. She receives a less punishment. Gemara says, Ba'al bito leshib bekubash el zonot. His daughter was sentenced to sit in the den of zonot. What could she have done? What's the sin that she did? Da'amar Rabbi Yochanan, pamachat hayta bito mehalechet afnei gedolei Romi. One day, the daughter of Rabbi Yochanan ben Tadjon was walking in front of the Hashuvim from Rome, the Gedolim from Rome. Amru, so she heard them say, Kama naot b'si'oteha. How beautiful are her steps, the way she walks. Shilri bazu of this young maiden. Miyad dikdika b'si'oteha. When she heard the compliment, she started to be extra careful. She walked even more fine. Da'ainu da'amar Rabbi Shimon ben Nakish. And that's what Rabbi Shimon ben Nakish said. May dikhtiv avon akeba yesubeni. It says the avon of my akev, of my leg, that is going to surround me, to punish me. Avonot she'adam dash ba'akevav. The sin that a person tramples in this world, ba'olam hazeh mesuvim lo liyom ha'din. They are going to surround him, the Yom HaDin. Now we need to explain this Gemara. What does it mean that she heard them compliment her, and therefore she was even more particular? Halila vehas, to think that she was an immodest girl. The daughter of Rabbi Hanan ben Tadeo was very modest. What they were complimenting on her was how modest she was. That they never saw a modest girl like this, that's so careful to walk in such a way. So when she heard the compliment, now she was even more careful in her modesty. But now her being careful was not l'shem shamayim anymore. Now he was being modest to impress the Romans. So therefore she was extra. So therefore since there was a measure of shalom l'shem shamayim, and again, God judges the tzaddikim for every motion. So that's considered for the tzaddeket piritzut. That you're being extra modest in order to impress the goyim, in order to receive a compliment for the tzaddeket, that's like being undressed, drawing attention to yourself. Halila b'has. So therefore, she got punished. So the Gemara comes along and says, and that's what it means in the pasuk, Avon akebai yesuveni. The sin of my akev, of my heel, will surround me. So the Gemara says, what is the sin of the heel? These are the sins that people trample on a daily basis. Those are the ones that are going to incriminate the person la'atid lavo. And the question is, it seems that these are small sins. Why is it that the ones that people trample means it's we take for granted? We're not talking about the major sins of murder or theft and things like that. That people don't trample on those. Those are rare sins. So the question is, how can it be that the small sins that we trample on, that's the one that's going to incriminate us? I figured the big sins are going to get us into trouble. Avon akevai. But they said, no. Avon akevai yesuveni. So the explanation they say is like this. The big sin a person does in his life, he does it once. How many times does a person commit a major sin? Okay, so it's a big avon. But the small sins, since he does it over and over and over again, the rabbis, the Ram gives a mashal. So let's say I have a piece of yarn. On its own, it's not so strong. But then I redouble it with another piece, and then another piece, and then I keep on adding and adding and adding. Eventually, it becomes so thick, it's even stronger than a piece of metal. And therefore, that's what happens with the avonot that we recur every day. We do it over and over and over, and all of a sudden, it becomes even more powerful and strong than the metal itself, than the big avon. That's what's avon akeba. So the reason why the Gemara is bringing it here is because this was a sin with the akev. With the heel, because she was being more careful with her heel, so they're playing on the word akev. There's a famous hidush when it says in the Torah by Avraham Avinu. It says by Avraham Avinu, "Ekev asher shama Avraham bekoli." Avraham fulfilled my voice, fulfilled my laws. And the Torah says, "Ekev asher shama Avraham bekoli." The Gemara says, from here we learn that Avraham Avinu already found his creator at the age of 3. It's from the Ekev Asher Shema Avraham Bekoli, that already he was religious or he understood God from the age of 3. So they say that the numerical value of the word Ekev is 172. And we know Avraham Avinu lived 175. So the Torah says, how long did Avraham listen to my voice? Ekev Asher Shema Avraham Bekoli. He listened to my voice, Ekev years, 172. Mikan, from here, we see he must have saw God at 3 years old. But it's interesting, if you look at the Rashi on that Pasuk of Ekev, by Avraham Abinu, it says, from here, we see Mikan, Chekiyam, Kiyam Avraham Abinu, it called a Torah. From here we say Avraham Avinu kept the whole Torah. Va'afilu Eruv Tavshilin. Even Eruv Tavshilin, even the rabbinical enactments that were going to come later on by Shlomo HaMelech, he fulfilled it. So the question is, where did Rashi get, out of all the mitzvot that he chose, Eruv Tavshilin? The 613 mitzvot is 7 mitzvot Rabbanan. Kiyem Avraham Avinu Kol HaTorah Afilu Eruv Tavshilin. From where do you get that one? So the Mefarshim explained from the Gaon de Vilna that really we're reading the Rashi wrong. Rashi did not say Eruv Tavshilin. Rashi probably wrote Ayin Taf. And when they rewrote Rashi in the Pasuk, they figured Ayin Taf. What was Ayin Taf Rashi Tevot? Must be Eruv Tavshilin. But Rashi really meant Eruv Tehumin. He was talking about the mitzvah of Tehum Shabbat. And why did he choose that mitzvah out of all of them? Because Rashi was bothered. It says Avraham kept the mitzvah of Ekev. He kept the mitzvah that has to do with the legs, with the heels. Which mitzvah has to do with the legs? Tehum Shabbat. You're not allowed to walk out of the borders 2,000 amot. So therefore, Rashi wrote Ayin Taf, meaning Eruv Tehumin. Now it makes sense why he picked that one. That's the mitzvah of Ekev. But the authors of the typesetters, when they wrote the book, the publishers, they didn't understand what he meant. So they did us a favor by translating the word to Eruv Tavshilin, but according to the Gaon, it's a mistake. In any event, comes the Gemara and says. When both, all three of them went out to be judged, they accepted the judgment of God. He said that Sur Tami Paudo, God's ways are correct. There's no perversion in the justice. The one that has the great ideas and he knows exactly what everybody's supposed to get. And his eyes are opened on all the ways of man. And the end of the pasuk says, "Latet leish kedrachav v'chrima al alav." Everybody gets what they deserve. So they would say, even though at the time of death they all said, "God is right." Amar Rabbi, kama gedolim tzaddikim alalu. How great were these three tzaddikim? Shenizdamnu lahem shalosh mikraot shel tziduk adin b'sha'at tziduk adin. That they thought of three pesukim at the time of the judgment itself, when they were getting judged, they thought of these things. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tanu Rabbanan, a new story. Kishahala Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma. Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma got sick. Halak Rabbi Hananya b'taradyon lebakiro. So Rabbi Hananya went to visit him. Amar lo Hanina ahi. Hanina, my brother. Iyata yodeya she'uma zu min ha-shamayim him lichuha. Don't you understand that this kingdom, the Romans, this is a kingdom that has been ordained from heaven to be the kings, to be the leaders of the world. Shehriva et beto. After all, they destroyed God's house. V'sarfat techalon, they burnt the hechal. V'harga et hasidav, and they killed all the hasidim. V'avda et tovav, and they got rid of all the good people from us. And it's still around. Jesus, Rabbi Yosef Kisma was saying, we have no other way to explain the success that the Romans had, only to say that min hashamayim, that God wants these goyim to persecute us. Vani shamati alecha, and I heard she'ata yoshev ve'osik b'Torah u'makil keilot b'rabim, and I heard you're still teaching Torah, you're putting your life at risk, and you're gathering congregations in public. Sefer Torah munach lecha b'hakecha, and you're carrying a Sefer Torah in your bosom. Amar lo min hashamayim yirachamu. What am I going to do? Min hashamayim yirachamu. God should have mercy. Amar lo, so he tells him, ani omer lecha devarim shel ta'am. I'm giving you rational, logical sense. Vata omer li min hashamayim yirachamu. And you're telling me, min hashamayim yirachamu, they'll have mercy on me. What kind of answer is that? Which means you're putting yourself in the sakana. How are you doing such a thing? Tame'ani. So he says, I wonder. Im lo yisrifu otach ve'etzev Torah ba'ish. He says, I wonder if they're not going to burn you and burn the Sefer Torah in the ish. So he says, and this is the amazing part over here. Maral says
like this.
Amar lo Rabbi. So Rav Hananya ben Tanajon tells Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma, Ma ani lehayeh olam abba. Am I going to go to olam abba? What is my status? Like a big eternity. Amar lo klum ma'aseh ba'li yadecha. You do ever do anything? You have any good deeds that ever came to your hands? Amar lo ma'ot shel purim mitchalfu li b'ma'ot shel tzedakah. One time the monies got mixed up. The monies of Purim got mixed up with the monies of the tzedakah, my personal money and the money of the charity, and I had a safek v'chalechtim na'anim, and I went and I took it from my own pocket and I paid. This actually was the Gemara on the previous Dapim. We learned this. There's a big machlok and how to learn exactly what he did. It's kedai just to review the way that Tosafot explains what happened. Tosafot explains that Tzidkut over here was he had money of Purim in his wallet. Now money of Purim you can only give to the Aniyim for the sake of Purim. You can't give it to them for personal things. The Gemara says the Ani cannot buy a shoelace with the money of Purim. He's got to buy a seuda. He didn't realize that it was money of Purim in his wallet. He thought it was regular tzedakah. So he called all the Aniyim. He says, come Rabotai, we're going to give out the tzedakah today. It wasn't Purim day. When he got there, all the Aniyim showed up. He realized that it was Purim money. Now what he should have done or could have done is told the Aniyim, sorry, I made a mistake. I thought that it was regular monies. It's Purim money. Come back Purim and I'll give it to you. But he didn't want to embarrass them. They all came now for the tzedakah. He's not going to give them. So he went and he gave them the money. And he went and he then replenished it on his own. Because now he has to pay back the kupat tzedakah. Instead of saying, I'm not giving the money out because it's not really, I'm not allowed to. He gave them from his own pocket, the tzedakah, and therefore it was out of pocket, it cost them money. It's a big tzaddik, not to embarrass them and to pay this money. He had a right to say, listen, it's not my man, I don't have to give it to you. So that was his tzidkut. So Gemara says, Amar lo, when he heard that he did this action, he says, Imken, mehalkecha yehalki. He says, I hope my share should be with you. My lot should be with you. He's very impressed. The question is over here. Don't understand the question of Rav Hananya ben Tanajon. And we certainly don't understand the answer of Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma. Am I going to Olam Abba? Going to Olam Abba? You have a question? You're the one that's teaching Torah and Rabbim. You're the one that's risking your life in order to promote Torah, even at the risk of death of the Romans. Is there anybody that's more sacrificing for Hashem's religion than the Hananya ben Tanajon? So he asked him a question, what about me for Olam Abba? And then the rabbi comes along and doesn't even mention that great act. He says, there was some money that came to my hands and I replenished the charity with it. Oh, that's what you did? He picks a small little act and the rabbi makes a big deal. Mehalkecha, yehalki, megoralcha, yegorali. So the explanation of the Mefarshim learn over here is a very, very big one. The lesson is like this. It says, there's two ways of understanding. One way is understanding like this. It says if a person has a lot of avirot in his box, the avirot themselves are silent. They don't prosecute against the person. But there's one avirah that prosecutes, and that's gezer. That's theft. That's stealing. That avirah screams and says, oh, the guy's a thief. And then it wakes up all the other avirot, and then already it prosecutes. So therefore, a person has to be extra careful when it comes to things that have to do with money. Because when a person's extra scrupulous in his monetary dealings, so then already there's no ketrug against him. So that's why the rabbi asked him. If you look at the language of the Gemara, he said, do I have olam abba? So the rabbi asks him, klum ma'aseh bali yadecha? Did you ever have an action that came to your hand? Were you ever tested in something that's done with your hands? That's meaning money. Was your test in business? Klum ma'aseh bali yadecha. He didn't say, what deed did you do? He said, what deed came to your hands? He was saying, because you're going to be judged, like we learned. They're going to ask you, Nasata ve'natata be'emunah. That's the judgment. So therefore, what did your hands do? So he had to think of it in the mitzvah. Ah, yes. My hands, one time my hands were tested when it came to replenishing the tzedakah, and I went and did it. Because, if you have such scrupulous business practices, for sure when they ask you the question, Nasata ve'natata be'emunah, if you did this, this is a window into your... into the rest of you. Not that this act, this one act is going to get you to Olam Abba. But if this is how careful you are in something that was mutar and you were strict on, that means you do not have a desire for money. And therefore, obviously in all of your business dealings, you must have not never stolen in your life. Because if you're being generous on something that was mutar, certainly you're not going to go stick your hand in somebody else's pocket. Therefore, your hands are free from theft. Therefore, you're not going to have a prosecution. Because it's only the gezel that prosecutes together. So therefore, I have no problem. You're definitely going to go to Olam Haba. So you see, the key for a person's eternity is the honesty when it comes to mamonot. If that's the case also, we can explain it a little differently. Olam klu ma'aseh ba'al yadecha. Did you ever have a ma'aseh that came to you? Which means like this. To get to Olam Haba, you need a perfect mitzvah. That's what Harambam writes. God says you need one perfect mitzvah as an entry. Once you get in with the perfect mitzvah, then already all the other mitzvahs you get reward from. That's the way he explains the Mishnah at the end of Makot. He says, God wants to give us a zechut to get to eternity. Therefore he gave us a big Torah. The reason why he gave us a big Torah, because out of the 613 in your life, one of them you're going to do perfectly. And that'll get you in the zakot. And once you get in, then already God give you a reward for the other one. So he was asking him, did you ever do a perfect mitzvah? The fact that you're teaching Torah in public, that already, you're getting kavod for that. That already, it's not perfect. It's mesirut nefesh, but at the end of the day, everybody knows about that mitzvah. Once everybody knows about that mitzvah, it's not perfect. So he suggests there was one time nobody knows about this mitzvah. It was God, the wallet, I replenished the money, it's the first time I'm ever telling the story to anybody. He's, if that's what you did, you have one perfect mitzvah in your roster, now already you're in. And therefore he said, there's different ways of explaining it, but those are two interpretations for today. Come together, I continues. Amru. Lo ayu yamim mu'atim ad sheneftar Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma. A few days later, Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma passed away. Balchu kol gadol Romi lekabero. They all went to bury him, the Romans. Vespiduhu, and they went and they eulogized him. Hesped gadol. Ubhazaratam, on the way back, mitzauhu Rabbi Hananya ben Terayon. They found Rabbi Hananya ben Terayon. Shaya Yosef ve'osek b'Torah, he was sitting and learning. U'makir kedlot b'rabim v'sefer Torah munach lo b'chayko, with the sefer Torah in his hand. Hevi'uhu v'charchuhu b'sefer Torah. They took the rabbi and they wrapped him in the sefer Torah. V'kifuhu b'chabilei zemorot, and they took twigs, dry twigs, in order to put a fire, and they put it on him. V'etzitu b'hen et ta'ur, and they lit them on fire. Viviu sefugin shel tzemer, and they brought pieces of wool, v'sharum b'mayim, and they doused them in water, v'nihum alibo, and they put these moist pieces of wool on his heart, kedei shelo tetzen shmato mehera, in order to prolong the death. Amra lo bitov, so his daughter told him, Abba, erech bekach. He should see you like this, which means this is the reward for Torah. You taught Torah, you did the right thing. This is how God rewards you. If I was just being burnt alone, yes, it would be hard for me to accept. But now that I'm being burnt with the Sefer Torah, mi shemevakesh elvona shel Torah. The God that's going to take revenge against the shame of the Sefer Torah that's being done here, who yivakesh elboni, he's going to seek the revenge also that what they did to me. Amru lo talmidav, Rabbi, ma ata ro'eh. Rabbi, what do you see? Now, why did they assume that he saw anything? What do you mean? Maybe he didn't see anything. What do you mean, Rabbi? What do you see? It's because they heard like a crackling voice. They heard a noise coming from the Sefer Torah. So they knew something was going on. So they said, Rabbi, what's going on over here? What do you see? Amar lahem, gilyon nisrafin, ve'otiyot porchot. I see that the parchment is burning, but otiyot porchot. The letters are not burning. The letters are being drawn off the page, and they're just going back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Which means you can't destroy the Torah. Even though when they destroy the Sefer Torah, it's only really destroying the parchment. But the letters themselves of the Sefer Torah, they always go back up. And that's what he saw. But there's a deeper explanation to this Gemara. At the time of death, the Tzaddikim, they had like a prophecy. They have a vision. So they were telling the rabbi, Ma ata ro'eh? What do you envision? What do you see? What's going to be the future of Klal Yisrael? Said, the future of Klal Yisrael is like this. Our rabbis tell us that Jewish people are compared to a Sefer Torah. The body is compared to the parchment, and their souls are compared to the letters of the Torah itself. Every Jewish person, his soul is connected to one of the otiyot of the Torah. That's what the Jewish people are called, Yisrael. Yisrael is Rashi Tevot. Yesh Shishim Ribo Otiyot La Torah. There are 600,000 letters to the Torah, even though there's only about 300,000, but each letter is comprised of different letters. For example, an Aleph is comprised of a Vav and two Yuds. And therefore, each part of a letter is connected to another Jewish person. And our rabbis teach us a lesson, that even though a Jewish person might commit sins, and even though he might do things that are inappropriate, and things that are wrong, and even if he falls to the lowest level, like we learned on yesterday's daf, a fellow called Elazar ben Durdaya, that he went with every zona over the seven seas and he committed all the perversions. But even though the parchment is being burnt, you could never extinguish the letter. The letter meaning the holy soul of the Jewish person, no matter what sins he commits, there's always a chance for him to come back. And he said that's going to be with the Jewish people in the future. You know what I see in the future generation before Mashiach? There's going to be great, great sins. The Yetzirah is going to be very, very powerful. Givilin Nisrafim. That the bodies of Am Yisrael, they're going to be burnt by the fire of the Yetzirah. They're going to be committing all sorts of sins at the end of time. But the good news is, Otiyot Porchot, the letters themselves, the holy soul of Am Yisrael will still be intact, and from there there'll be a resuscitation. From there, the soul will resuscitate the body. You can never destroy the Jewish spirit. That's what he was telling them at that time over there. That's the symbolism. There's always hope. So he says, Afata p'tach picha v'tekanez picha a'esh. So they told him, Rabbi, open your mouth and let the fire consume you. Don't prolong your death. Just let yourself die. Amar lahen, mutav shiyitelena mishinatna ve'al yichaber hu be'atzmo. Let the one that gave me the life take the life away from me, and I shouldn't cause myself any damage. Amar lo katzlaturi kaltzat lidi. That's the Roman officer that was in charge. Rabbi imani marbe b'shalhevet v'noter sifugim shel semen ma'al libecha ata mevi'ani l'chaya olam haba. If I take the wool off your chest and I add more fuel to the fire, and therefore your death will be quicker, do I get olam haba for taking you out of misery? Amar lo hen. He says yes. Hishavali. Swear to me. Mishbado. So he swore to him. Miyad hirba b'shalhevet. So he made the fire bigger. V'natad sefugin shel simen ma'al libo. He took the wool off his heart. Yatzah nishmato b'mehran. The rabbi died quickly. Afu kafatz v'nafal l'toch ha'ur. And then this Roman jumped into the fire with Rabbi Hananiah ben Tarajun. He wanted to go up to Olam Abba with the rabbi. Yatzah bat kol v'avra. Heavenly voice came out. Rabbi Hananiah ben Tarajun. They both are prepared for the eternal world. Rabbi ve'amar. Rabbi cried when he saw this. He said, Yesh kone olamo. Mesha'ahad. Yesh kone olamo v'chama shanim. Some people, they get the olam haba in 1 second. And there's others that have to work a whole life with great affliction to acquire it. When Rabbi was crying, it was sad that he got the olam haba, this guy. He was saying, look how valuable every second of life is. That in 1 second the man made proper decisions and he was able to already acquire eternity. And if, could you imagine, if a person has many opportunities, many seconds in life, many years in life, how much olam haba he can acquire if just in 1 second, look what he was able to turn around. Oh, so he looked at this as a self-examination. Are we taking advantage of our time? Are we taking advantage of our moments? Look at the value of a second. It can bring a person from Gehinnam to olam haba in a moment. Bruria de Bitu de Rabbi Meir. Now, Bruria was the wife of Rabbi Meir. Parte de Rav Hananya ben Terajon. She was the daughter of Rav Hananya ben Terajon. Havai. Amralo, so she tells her husband Rabbi Meir, Zila bim milta, tiyatva ahtai bekubash zonot. This is a big zilzul, a big degradation, that my sister should be in a den of prostitutes. Because that's what they did to the other daughter of Rav Hananya ben Terajon. So Bruria, the sister, felt bad. This is degrading. So she says to her husband, go handle it. Rabbi Meir, go do something. Shakal tarkeba de dinre. So he took a whole pile of dinarim of monies. Ve'azil, ve'azal. Amar, ilo et abid ba isura mit abid nisa. So listen, if she didn't commit any sins as a prostitute over there, a miracle will happen for her. I avda isura, but if she committed a sin already, lo it abid la nisa, then a miracle is not going to happen. So he needed to see if she was still pure. Azam nakat nafshe kehad parsha. He dressed up Rabbi Meir like a Roman, like a customer. Amar la, so he comes into the place of Zonot. So he sees it's his sister-in-law, it's his wife's sister. She doesn't know it's Rabbi Meir. He's dressed up. So he goes to her, Hashmi'ini li, mean be with me. Amrala, amrale, she says, Dishtina ana. She says, I have my period. I have blood, I cannot go with any man now. Amrala, mitrahana mirtah. Okay, I'll wait for you. Which means I'll wait for the blood to stop. Amralo, nefishin tuva. Don't wait, it's too much blood. And not only that, the ika de shapiran minai. There's many more beautiful girls over here than me anyway. Amar, he said, if that's the way she's giving excuses, Shwamina lo avda isura. Must be, she did not make isur. Kol de'ate, must be every customer that came to her, amra lehachir. She must have said this excuse. Azal legabe shomer lida. So now he went to the shomer, to the guard that's in charge of the zonot. Amar le ava nihala. I want to take her. Give her to me. Amarle, mistafina me malchuta. I'm scared of the government. What do you mean? The government takes attendance. They're going to see that one of the girls are missing. Or better, the government used to collect a percentage of all the revenues. So now, every week or whatever it is, every month, I have to give them a tax. Now they're going to come to me over here. And this girl's not producing anything, or whatever it may be. And I'm scared of the government, what they're going to do to me. So he says, Amale shkol tarkeba de dinra. Take this pile of money. Palga palach. With half of it, you could pay off the authorities, whenever they have a claim against you. Upalga levelach, and the other half keep for yourself. Amale vechi shalme mai yavid. But what happens when it runs out? Which means you tell me to bribe the authorities. Fine. But eventually I'm going to run out of bribe money. So what do I do? So Tosfot explains differently. Tosfot explains that they always collect a certain vig, a tax. You're giving me money, but eventually it's going to run out. How am I going to be able to resupply it? Amar le, so he tells them the famous thing. Whenever you find yourself in trouble with the government, Ema elaha de meir aneni. Say, the God of Meir Aneni. This is Rabbi Meir Balanes. So he says, just say those words, Ilahad Meir Aneni. umitzalat, and you'll be saved. You have nothing to worry about. Whenever you're in trouble, just say those words. Amale umi emar de'achi ika. Who says it works? You tell me I say these three words, these magical words that I had to mean aneidi. Who says it's going to work? Amale ashta hazit. I'm going to show you now. Avu hanehu kalbe. Over there in the neighborhood, there was these dogs. Da'avu ka'achle inche. They used to eat people. Dangerous dogs, vicious dogs. Shakal kala. So the guy picked up like a dirt bomb. Shadabi. He threw it at the dogs. He incited the dogs. Avu ka'atu de mikle. They were coming after him to eat him. Amar el ha'demir aneni. So he said those words. El ha'demir aneni. Shafkuha. They left him alone. The avale, and they let him go. Oh, the avale. So then he gave the daughter over when he saw that it works. So, okay, good. If the government ever starts with me, I say the adamin ani, and they'll get scared. So he gave over the daughter of Rav Hananya ben Tzadok to the Bibiir. Lesof ishtema milta b'malka. At the end, the government heard what he did. Atua they took him askua l'skifa, and they put him on the gallows. They kill him. Amar ilahad meir aneni. So he said the words, the God of meir aneni. Ahtuha. So what happened? It says they took him down. They took him down. Miracle worked. Amrule mayhai. What's going on over here? Which means even they were shocked and they said, what's this ilahad meir aneni business over here? Which is, why aren't we able to hang you? Something's going on over here. They saw something was awkward. Amar lehu, hachi ava maaseh. He tells him the story. Exactly what happened. Atu hakeku ledmuted Rabbi Meir afetcha derumi. Now Rabbi Meir was a wanted man. They put his picture on the gates of Rome. Amre, and they said, kol dehazeh departzufah. Then anybody that sees this face, this picture of this man, like that, bring him to us. I mean, he was a marked man. Yomachada hazyuhi. He saw it himself. He saw that, oh, the government's after me. Rahat abatre, or they saw him. Rahat abatre, so they tried to chase him. Rahat mekamayu. And they chased him. So he's running away from them. So he's got to show them that he's got the wrong guy. He doesn't want to get captured. So it says, al lebezonot. So he ran into the bezonot. So the Greek said, oh, this must not be him. This rabbi is a religious guy. If he's going into bezonot, for sure they got the wrong guy. Some say that Rabbi Meir saw non-kosher food over there. Tamash beha, he stuck his hand into the pot of non-kosher food. Umatak beha, and he started licking his fingers. So he says, hey. So when they saw that, okay, must not be the right guy. He's not going to eat non-kosher. Ika de amre ata Eliyahu. Some say that Eliyahu Navi came. Idme lehu kezona, and she appeared like a zona, kerchate, and she started hugging Rabbi Meir. Amre, they said, Has v'shalom. Even the goyim said, Has v'shalom. Rabbi Meir ava. If this was Rabbi Meir, lo ava avid acher. Oh, he's not going to do such a thing. Kam arak, he ran atal leBabel, and he escaped to Babel from this story. Ika de Amre mehay maase. Some say the reason why he escaped to Babel is because of this story over here. Some say for a different story. From the story of his wife Beruria. What was the story of his wife Beruria? Rabbi Meir once taught that Nashim Da'atan Kalot, that ladies, their da'at is kala, which means they're very easily persuaded. So Beruria said, what are you talking about? You tell me persuaded for what? Even to commit znut and things like that. So Beruria had a wife, and Rabbi Meir said, what are you talking about? I'm not easily persuaded for such a thing. So Rabbi Meir wanted to show his wife how true the words of the Chachamim are. So he sent one of his students, and his students eventually persuaded Beruria, and she admitted to make an Avera. She already was persuaded. And then she realized that the rabbi was right, and she became so embarrassed. She didn't actually do the Avera, but she was about to succumb to the Avera of the seduction. So she became so tormented by this that she committed suicide, Beruria. Meir was embarrassed at the whole story, so as a result, he ran away to Bavel in order to keep himself from the shame. Okay, now the Gemara continues back to what it says in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Aholech le'itzadinin. Okay, itzadinin, we said, was the place where they have the bullfights, where they gore bulls, they gore each other. Goyim was their entertainment. They made a stadium. That's probably where they get the word stadium from. It sounds like it's the Dianin stadium that they go watch, you know, the bullfights. So it says if a person goes there, Ulcharkom, Charkom is the place where the soldiers are making like a siege around the city. And over there, when they're doing their siege around the city, they have jokes over there and they make the sanut, and it's a light-headed place. Now you go over there, v'da'asham et nehashim. When you go there, you see not the snakes. Nehashim are the witchcraft. Over there was a lot of witchcraft and tricksters and people that use the black magic. The etahbarim. These are also types of black magic people. Bukyon, mukyon, mulyon, lulyon, lunin, salgudin. These are all types of clowns. And the tzarim that they have in these places over here. Are zeh moshav letzim. In these places, they had comedians over there. And they would make jokes and levity. So if you go there to these places, you got to know it's a moshav letzim. Just like then you go to the sporting events. So they have halftime, they have a show, and they have things like this. And the tzanut, they're making all sorts of jokes and things like this, entertainment. On these things, on these games, the Torah says, Ashnei ish ashelo halach. And the end of the pasuk, Moshav letzim lo yashav. Do not sit with a bunch of letzim. Now letzim not only means comedians or jokesters. Letzim means people that are just wasting their time in the frivolity of life. A letz is somebody that takes something that's important and belittles it. Takes something that's valuable and discounts it. To the letz, nothing is important. Therefore, he's always joking around and always wasting his time. Ki'im b'torat Hashem haktzo. Which means, what does it mean in the pasuk of Tehillim? Don't sit with Moshav Netzim. Ki'im b'torat Hashem haktzo. Only with Torah. So from here, the rabbis learn. Halamata shedevarim alalu mevim et adam lidei b'tor Torah. Person is going to sit with Netzim, with comedians and jokesters and all this type of entertainment. It's b'tor Torah. That's why it says, Moshav Netzim lo yashav. So what should you do instead of Moshav? Ki'im b'torat Hashem haktzo. And the contrary, you shouldn't study Torah. This is a big musar to big claims that people have on the controversy of television. It's always been a controversy. Is television a good thing? Is it not a good thing? Is it appropriate? Is it not appropriate? And there's two sides. Some say the content is unsuitable for children. Some will argue it's even unsuitable today for adults. Others say, no, there's good channels to watch, and there's good programming, and things like that. Two sides to the argument. But what they fail to recognize is really a more serious argument that everybody has to agree on. Whether it's suitable or not, but it's definitely bitul Torah. A Jew in free time does not have the luxury to sit and kill 2 hours in front of a television set. If you have that 3 hours, you have to open up a Talmud, you have to open up the Gemara, open up a Tehillim. And that's what's saying over here. Even though you have Litzanut entertainment, even let's say the entertainment is not unsuitable. It's nothing to do with that. But what are you doing? It's Bitu Torah. We, as Jews, our obligation is that every free moment we have to sit and study Torah. Doesn't mean that you cannot have a relaxation from time to time. But what, to go spend 2-3 hours a day, or let the children spend in front of a television set, even though you say no, it's a cartoon or it's something that's nothing, it's innocuous. It's nothing that's going to hurt them, but it hurts them because they could have been studying, and that's already the avon of bitul Torah that nobody could argue on. That's what the Gemara is saying over here. The Gemara says Urmini, we have a contradiction. Holchin leitzadyanin, those people that go to the itzadyon, to the bullfights, mutar, it's permissible for them to go. They should soveyach umatzir. Because maybe there's a Jew in the bullfight, that the bull is going after the Jew. So now you're in the stands, you'll scream, hey! So you'll scare the bull, so you'll save the Jew from getting killed. So there's a value to go to the bullfights. And you can also go to this place where the soldiers are gathering around the city. Why? Because you're going to try to save the Jews that are in the city. So you get friendly with the soldiers over there. So it's beneficial. So long as you don't join them. So long as you don't conscript yourself into the army with them. But to go to influence them is okay. But if you went to join them, that remains asud. Kasha istadyanin, istadyanin. Kasha karkom, karkom. So we have a double contradiction. You first told me you can't go to the istadyon. You cannot go to the bullfight. You cannot go to this place where the soldiers are hanging out. Now you're telling me you can go. So Gemara says, Bishlam karkom, karkom, kasha. I can answer the soldier situation. Kam b'mitashiv, b'mitashiv mahem, v'kam b'shem mitashiv mahem. When do we say it's asur? When you're going to join them? Oh, you join them in the army, you shouldn't. But when you're going to help the Jewish cause, that's okay. However, it's the dianin, it's the dianin kasha. How are you going to explain the contradiction against the bullfighting? Gemara says, Tanaehi. We'll say it's a machloket. The Tanya enochin, it's the dianin, ibn Moshav Netzim. The first rabbi said, you can't go to the Itzdadyani because it's the Moshav Netzim. It's a place of Netzanut. Rabbi Natan matin mepnesh ne devarim. Rabbi Natan says, I'll give you two reasons why it's mutar. Number one, mepnesh sofayah. Number one, you can scream to save a Jewish person that's in danger. Umatzil, nehamne shemirid idut ishad hasi'ah. You have another religious reason to go. Let's say a Jewish man gets killed in the bullfights. Now, the Jewish man, he gets killed. Now, his wife wants to get remarried. You need a witness to see that his husband died. So now you can go to bed and say, I was at the bullfights, I saw it, the guy was dead. And therefore, if a Jew's not going to be at the bullfights, then she'll remain in Aguna for the rest of her life. So Rabbi Natan says, I got two reasons why you can go. So then we see it's a machloket. One rabbi said, you can't go. Don't give me excuses. Moshav Netzim seems a waste of time. The other rabbi said, no, it can be justified. So therefore, it's a machloket amongst the Tanaim. Can you go to this item or not? Taru Rabbanan, we have a braita. En olchim le tartiyaot. Tartiyaot, what does it sound like? The English word, the theaters. Ud kirkasiyot. Kirkasiyot sounds like the English word, the circus, which means again places like that. But this is really talking about over here where they judge. They have judgments and they have jokes and they have entertainment. Again, it's a place of the goyim. Interestingly enough, Moshe Feinstein does have a question in the Igerot Moshe if it's permissible to go to a stadium to watch a sporting event. And from this Gemara, you'll see over there what Moshe says. Anyway, it says Mepenesh Mizaberin Sham Zibul. The reason why you can't go to these places is because they judge over there with things that have to do with Abodah Zarah, and they collect money to give it to the Abodah Zarah. Mizaberin Sham Zibul literally means they connect themselves. They join to the Abodah Zarah. Tosfot learns that they actually bring sacrifices over there to Abodah Zarah. But as she learns, if you look at that, she, it is mezabinim sham. It's like a halfway down. Mesadirim tzurche avodat kochim netnadevla. They collect all the money of the avodat in order to donate it. So therefore, you're going to go to this place, the proceeds are going to avodat zarah. Devrei Rabbi Meir. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. V'achamim omrim. V'achamim say, well, it depends. Markom shemezabinim asur. If they're actually collecting funds over there for Avodah Zarah, it's a sufni hashad. Avodah Kukharim, because they're going to think that you're going to serve, to help them. He says, either way, it's a sufni. He says like this, if they're doing the Avodah Zarah over there, they're collecting money, it's a sufni because of hashad, people are going to suspect that you're part of it. And if they're not doing it for Avodah Zarah, you still can't go, because of Moshav Netzim, because it's a bunch of jokesters. The first rabbi, according to the Bimeir, he says, listen, fact, they're doing Avodah Zarah over there. He doesn't have a doubt. Hakamim come and say, you know what, it depends. I don't know if they're doing Avodah Zarah. If they're doing it, you can't go because of that problem. And if they're not doing it, you still can't go because it's Moshav Netzim. So the Gemara asks, my benayu, what's the difference between the two opinions? Which means either way, both rabbis say you can't go. First rabbi says you can't go because Avodah Zarah. Second rabbi says you can't go either because Avodah Zarah, Moshav Netzim. But bottom line, both rabbis say you can't attend. So what's the nafka minah? My benayu. Amar bi'anam b'sura, nasav v'natan ika benayu. If you went and you transacted over there, which means if you did business over there. Rabbi Meir holds for sure the money is from Avodah Zarah. And therefore the money that you got from the transaction is money that was used for Avodah Zarah. You can't use the money. Whereas according to the Hakamim, it depends. It's not guaranteed you're doing it for Avodah Zarah. If it's for Avodah Zarah, you won't be allowed to use the money. But if it's for entertainment, you'll be allowed to use the money. Which is the machlok that the Nafka Mirah is going to be. Do you say Vadai it's Avodah Zarah or not? The Bimi says definitely. Don't even tell me anything. It's Avodah Zarah. Therefore, if you went and sold them something and they gave you money from that event, you can't use the money. That's the Demei Avodah Zarah, goodbye. According to the rabbis, no, not so fast. It depends. Maybe if it's Avodah Zarah, you can't use it. But if it's just for entertainment, you can't use it. So there will be enough coming out between the two opinions. Comes the Gemara and finishes and says, Tarash Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Mai Dichtiv, Ashrei Ha'ish Asher Lo'alach Ba'asat Reshaim, Uvderech Hata'im Lo'amad, Moshav Netzim Lo Yashav. The first Pasuk is Tehilim. So the Pasuk says, fortunate is the person that did not go to the place of the Reshaim, and did not stand with the sinners, and did not sit with the Netzim, with the scoffers. If it says, Ashrei Ha'ish Asher Lo'alach, if he never went, Hekan Amad, what are you talking about? How did he get to stand? So Moshav Nesim Lo Yashav, Uvderech Hatim Lo Amad. Of course Lo Amad. He never went in the first place. Of course Lo Amad. Umahash Lo Amad. And once he never stood with them, Hekan Yashav. What do you have to tell me Lo Yashav? Of course Lo Yashav. He never even stood with them. Gemara tells us the way of man. Umahash Lo Yashav, Hekan Lach. And then you tell me Moshav Letzim. If he never sat with them, how did he make Letzanut? He never sat with them. Ela Lomar Lecha, Shim Halach. Sofo La'amod. Vim Amad. Sofo Lishev. Vim Yashav. Sofo La'lutz. Which means the way of the Yetzer Hara is, it's gradual. First he tells you, just go around the area. Don't go with them. You can't go with these people. These are bad people. Just go hang around over there. So he says, you know why? Because once you end up going, you end up standing. Let me just stand. Let me stand in the back and watch them. Once you stand there, they say, you know what? Just go sit there, but don't say anything. Moshav Letzim, no Yashav. Eventually, you're going to, not only that, once you get there, you're going to start to join them. It's gradual steps. V'im Latz, and if a person then joins them to make mitzanut, to make jokes and things like this, wasteful chatter. And Litz also makes fun. The Litz makes fun of important things. Allah, the Katuv Omer, Im Hachamta, Hachamta Lach. If you study Torah, you have a benefit. V'im Latz, but if you made letzanut, lebadecha tisa, you are going to suffer the damage. And what is the damage? Amar bil azar, kolam mitnotzitz. Anybody that makes fun and makes jokes, of I don't mean joke comedian like that. Jokes meaning makes fun of important things, things of value. A letz is some as the religion. What are you keeping those mitzvot for? What are you keeping all that religion and all those ceremonies and observances, things like that? Shtuyot, the things are a waste of time. What are you making fun of Torah? You're making light of something that's valuable. Oh, if a lady comes in and she's dressed modestly, what are you wearing this modest clothes over here? What are you making fun of the tziniut? This is what we see some people do. They make the mitzvot and they make jokes of it. So it says, "Chas v'shalom, kol mitnotzetz yisurin bayin alav." Troubles come out to the person. Shneimar v'ata al titlotzatzu. Don't make jokes like that. Pen yehesku mosrechem, because maybe the yisurin is going to come on the person strongly. Amalu rabbi rabbanan v'matutab be'ina minaychu. Please, I'm asking you a favor. The rabbi said. Rabbi told the rabbis, "Delo titlotzitzu." Don't make the tzanut delo litu alaychu, because yisurin. I don't want yisurin to come on the person. Amar of Katina, kol mitlosetz. Not only that, and we conclude with this: anybody that makes letzanut mizonotav mitmahatim, his panasa goes down. Shneemar mashach yado etlotzitzim. God pulls his hand away from the letzim. The hand that's open, potei chadecha, that's open to give panasa, but from the letz, Hashem pulls away his sustenance. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen. Amen.